And in our study of Jeremiah, here we are going back a bit in history in the light of Jeremiah to just remind ourselves of a condition and a position. The Israelites, just think of the world, if you lived back then with Jeremiah in Jerusalem, and you lived back then, and the nations all around Egypt and all of them are around, of all kinds, sizes, and shapes. They're all there, and they're all doing what they do politically and religiously, disregarding God totally. That doesn't mean someone in and among those people couldn't turn to the Lord like Abraham and get saved. Absolutely they could. But as a nation, they are not doing that. So now, having looked at the world, we're now going to go back to Jerusalem. So the world doesn't care, but here's Israel. Israel has had a relationship with God, and they are not counting on that in the sense of their practical daily lives. But they are claiming that as a credential when needed to support them in the light of God's grace and God's judgment. And so, in their going downhill, they're being judged, and they seek to claim, just like Christians do today, well, we aren't cults, we aren't communists or something else. We aren't that. No, we're Christians. We're Christians. And what happens? Well, when we're Christians, we can go, and just like we're going to read in a second, we can go and pray to God, look to God, because we claim Him in some form or fashion, and then we do that. We aren't doing that as a normal life. We do that only in a crisis and when it's needed. Now, you're updated to where we are. Now going back, How did God see Israel under those terms? We have you as our God, and you're a backup if you're needed. We're going to live our life any way we please, and God, you just be there, and we'll claim you when we need to. Now, Jeremiah chapter 7, remember they were doing that. I'm going to go, for time's sake, verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. So they're claiming that here's the temple still standing in Jerusalem. They're claiming the altar and all of these different things. We claim these are yours, God, and thus you have to take care of them. It's your property, etc., etc., etc. But, you guys don't believe that at all. They didn't. They didn't believe that. No, it was theirs, and they were using it and misusing it. Over now in chapter 7 and verse 10, you want to get an explanation of that. And you come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In other words, we're able to claim God and have everything we want to do in the most ugliest, lousiest way possible, and it's all right what we do. Now, that's what they were claiming in the place of God. Now, and in verse 11, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. You have made this a house of shame. And that's why when the Lord will come in his second miracle, if you want to call it that, the cleansing of the temple in John chapter 2, he cleansed the temple. He made it. It's my house, a house of prayer, and you have defiled it. Now, so here's Israel claiming this. Now, what I'd like you to just be reminded of in the context that God has given. In verse 10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. It's my house, my name. You're putting my name on the line. You're making me look bad, said God. And you're putting my name. It's my house, my property. Verse 11. In this house, which is called by my name. Verse 12. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where the temple was, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of the people of Israel. In other words, God leveled the place, as it were. In my name. And sliding down verse 14, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. I'm going to do what to Shiloh, I'll read it again, which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh. Now I'm going to let Jerusalem's going to end up being leveled by Nebuchadnezzar. Now I want you to know it's my name. You're claiming it for yourself, only for your own benefit, like a little fire extinguisher in case you need it. That's the wrong way. And thus they were wrong. They were totally wrong in what they did. It was his God's. Now, point. When God takes something as his own, holy, the temple is holy, the altar is holy, it's all holy ground. Now, when God does that, you can go to all other places in the whole world and never have a problem. But if God's in that place and God set it apart, boy, be careful. Be careful in that place. That's where God is. Be very careful what you do. Now, think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Don't defile my house. The people gathered together in my name represent me. You're my temple. You're collectively my building. Be careful about what you do. Behave yourself rightly in the house, my house, and everyone else take heed. So we have a marvelous, marvelous protection around us as we honor God. As you honor God as an assembly, as you honor God in your personal life, you have that protection. Your God's. There's no accidents, no errors, no problem. God says there's nothing that I'm not going to be involved in. Now, that's what you need. Now, go over, if you would, to chapter 17. And even as we get into chapter 17, reminding ourselves to take advantage, we don't want to lose it, in chapter 16 and in verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And we share together that was the most stupendous event in history. And along with the Jordan River, the Red Sea was something else. And thus, so everyone knows that about God. And God said, that isn't even going to be thought of when I do the next thing. When I take the scattered people of Israel all over the nations, and in one day, I'm going to bring them all in one place. That is even going to be more stupendous. Thus, as I live, verse 15, as the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of the north, that's Russia, Assyria, Babylon, and from all the lands, whither he had driven them, more than up into Titus, 70 AD, they're all scattered all over the world, and driven them, I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Now, God, you're going to do what you're going to do. And Israelite is there. Are you listening, Israelites, in the Jerusalem? Jeremiah, you are aware of it. God said, listen, because I am the living and only God, I do what I do. I am the living God. I'm not a dead one. I am involved. And I don't depend on you doing it, and I don't depend on you doing it. I'm going to do it, said God. I do what I do. So don't sit there and say it isn't going to be. It is going to be. When I do it, it's going to be done. I am the living God that does what has to be done. That's what I want you to hang on to. Now, and in the light of that, we need to add one other little piece. In verse 19, and you will remember, I need to go even to verse 18 to get a better context. Chapter 16, verse 18. First, I will recompense your iniquity, pay back their sin double. You guys have earned 40 lashes plus 40 more lashes. Because they have defiled my land, M-Y, they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. In other words, you've got all kinds of stuff that doesn't belong, idolatry in all of its forms. Now, so God, you made it clear that you're personally involved. You are involved. It's my land, my people, my place, my tabernacle, my temple, all of it's mine. Mine. All the rest out there is what the world has, but this is mine. Now, in Jeremiah, you have it, as we shared, verse 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee, etc. In other words, I'm looking to a wonderful future, God, when you're going to bring all the Gentiles, they're going to get saved, etc., etc. But the thing that we're noting in verse 18, God claims it as his personal, my land, my people. Jeremiah claims the Lord, who owns it, who just said, it's all mine. And now Jeremiah says, Lord, you are my, you, God just claimed it all. And now Jeremiah says, you, God, are my strength, my refuge, my fortress. You're my redeemer. You are mine. You see, mine. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and as I live, God said, you're going to do what you're going to do. I am. I need to understand that in a most wonderful way. And I understand that it's mine. So it's a very personal little pronoun, my, we sing it, my country, tis of thee. My country, tis of thee. My country, you see, wow. Now, so over if you would please to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel in chapter 14. And just to give you a sample of movement, Ezekiel 14, verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, that's Jerusalem, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. They're right with me. All those three men could not save Jerusalem. Now, you can't save it. God, you're going to do what you're going to do? I'm going to do it anyway, so don't tell me not to do it. I'm going to do it. So now, here's the three men. If they were there, they couldn't stop a thing. And thus, you're going to confirm that. Verse 16. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They shall They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. You aren't going to stop a thing. I am living. I am the living God. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Now, you either catch up or you don't catch up, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Isn't it nothing to do with people and people want or wish? I'm going to do the right thing at the right time in the right way as I live. And again, verse 18, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. They only can save themselves. They can't stop it. I'm living. I'm the living God. Sliding down to verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So you're not going to be able to help anybody else in any way, shape, or form. All you can do is just be glad you're saved. And here we are, and as I live, God said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. And if you're right with me, you're fine. If you're wrong, it's not going to come out good. But as you live, so God, as you are living, you're the right God working out your wonderful will. So now I'm looking at our little heart here. And as we look, we're asking ourselves, God, what are we going to do? We're going to see the outworking of your wonderful will in our life. And God. So I'm interested in the fact, A, my Lord and my God, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my, M-Y, personal Savior and Lord. He's my Savior, my Lord. My. I don't know about yours out here, but mine. It's personally mine. Now, Noah could say that. And Job could say that. Daniel can say that. The rest of the people in Jerusalem as a general populace cannot say that. Jeremiah can say that. He did. Now, and God, you're living and doing what you're going to do. So here I am in the middle of the planet Earth in a very volatile time for more than it was a month ago. We got things going that just weren't going, and they aren't little things. When you look at Korea and China, North Korea, etc., and you look at Iran and look at Iraq, and then you look at Saudi Arabia, and you look at what's going on there and in Syria and all the Russia and Europe's going through what it is, our own country trying to get on track, but everything is opposing it even getting close. So here's a whole, it's much more volatile. Everywhere, who knows what's going to happen? Are the North Koreans get a bomb? And who are they going to sell it to? Iran. Wouldn't you sell it to Iran? I mean, they get a couple of bucks. We just gave them $150 billion. I mean, they can afford a good bomb. I mean, after all. So why not? So hey, we got it all going. Boy, is it. And then here's the believers, hither and yon. God help us all. Here we are out there, more or less, and they're there. Well, we're going to be with Christians, and God's going to save us, and God's going to come, and everything, and we're busy doing what we're doing. So now, God, and here's Jeremiah. Here's the remnant. Here we are. Now, what about us, remnant? We're trying to stay straight, on target, with some gusto. Wow. Now, over, please, if you would, to Philippians. And let me just do a little simple exercise that may be helpful. I'm interested. God said, as I live, I'm doing what I'm doing. And I want it to be, I don't want to lose, I want to get that part. I understand the second part. It's personal. God said, you're mine, and you're mine, and I am yours, mine, my. That's right, my Savior. That's right, you died for my sin. That's right. Philippians chapter 1. I just want, if you're a believer, just absorb it. Just what God is saying. It doesn't matter whether you understand a great deal or not, in the sense that you just need to get a sense of God's commitment to do and be who he is. To do and to be who he is. That's what you need to get. Thus, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me, said Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain, great advantage. Wow. So God, Paul, what are you saying? Well, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Over, if you would, to chapter Philippians in chapter 2. The end of verse 12. But now, much more in my absence, 2 and 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you can't do anyone else. You just read it. If Noah, Daniel, and Job, all they can do is be saved themselves. You can't save anybody else. You can't do it for anybody else. So all you can do is be saved. And stop looking out and comparing and analyzing. You're missing the boat. Am I saved or aren't I? And am I knowing God as my Savior or am I not? And thus work out your own salvation, not somebody else's, with fear and trembling. And the reason, because God liveth. Verse 13, for it is God which is working in you both to will and to do of his, we did it the other day, differently, his good pleasure. The good pleasure of God to do. As I live, my good pleasure is to do for you. Now, in the light of that, over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And picking up, please, in the prayer, verse 9. But for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So you're looking, God, your prayer, as we just going on, we're going to just rehearse it a little bit. As you turn the pages, it keeps saying the same thing. Do we ever catch it? Do we catch the fervor of this? And that's the trouble. We don't get that fire. Wow. Now, and in verse, sliding over, verse 29. Wherefore, whereunto I also labor, said Paul, 1 and 29, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So what, Paul, have you got going for you that so gets you activated, motivated, energized in mind and thought, in body and every way, to overcome everything? It's God's working. As I live, saith the Lord, because I live, I do what I'm doing. And it's my pleasure to do it in and with you. It's my pleasure to do so. Wow. And thus, so Paul, that's where you're getting it. That's where it's coming from. Jeremiah, why are you going to hang in there? Because God lives and he's doing what he's doing and he's ultimately going to do everything he said he would do. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and by the way, you want to be stimulated, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now see, that's another pain in the neck for the humans. What is it? God wants you to be just like he intended you to be, here and now. That's the whole purpose of the church, is to develop the human heart to be like him. Now, that's preaching. Preaching's not easy. I don't know, I get Wow. Because what are you going to do? We're looking for you to change. Remember, we shared it before. No one should. Preaching is going head on against the human heart. Head on. It's bucking everything in your old nature and mind that is against anything for good. And you're going against it. That's why preaching is so foreign. It's penetrating. It's personal. It's awesome. It ought to bother the britches off you. Is that all right? Wow. Now, God has to help us. It's a task. I mean, when I was talking to someone on the phone for the conference, and they asked about retiring, and they said, do you have a rocking chair? And I said, no, I don't have a rocking chair. I don't think I do. A rocking chair. Jeanette has a rocking chair, but I don't have a rocking chair. He said, then you can't retire. So you can know my need is a rocking chair. Wow. Now, in the light of that, just keep in mind God's wonderful intent to be and do who He is. And that's what's going on. And I'm going to even go, while we're take the time, verse 27. God wants to present you perfect, mature, complete in Christ Jesus, to whom God would make known what is the mystery, riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it isn't anything about you that's getting molded and transformed. It's Christ in you. Christ in you, like the seed in the ground. The seed goes in the ground and breaks forth. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the life of Christ is to blossom out. It isn't your life or my life. It's His life. And it comes out. And that's what it does. And we're supposed to let it. The branch is supposed to what? Work very hard and collect everything to be able to stay connected, should it? All it does is abide, 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 abide. Go out there next time you look at the trees and see how much work the branches are doing. They just sit there. And pretty soon, maybe, the Lord doesn't come. Even if the Lord comes, the leaves will still come. We'll be gone. And the leaves and the stuff is all going to grow. All you got to do is abide. I live. God said, I'm the living. I'm the living Lord. I'm the vine. I'm the branch. I make it live. Ah, now, that's all. It's pretty easy. Wow. Not hard. Not hard at all. So having said that little bit, Ephesians. And picking up, if I may, in Ephesians 1 and in verse 5. Having predestinated, marked out us ahead of time, for what reason? To be for the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So it's God's wonderful will to save us, God's pleasure to be God, and God is a living God. Israel was not receiving that, and they were missing out. They didn't have a my possession, my relationship to God. No, they didn't. That was their trouble. And in skipping down to verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, God, you have a wonderful plan for our life, and it is your pleasure to do so. Always your pleasure, always your pleasure. God, your pleasure. You're pleased to do it. So I don't have to beg you. I don't have to fall down and kick myself 20 times. God, I just have to say thank you and get with it. That's all. And I don't have to go and crucify myself because why? Because you're already crucified. And all you do is, Romans 6:11, is reckon it. Reckon it takes into account. Calculate. Calculate, your calculator has all the information. Push the buttons. It's already there. Wow. Now, so, and God always, always wonderfully to your good pleasure. and your goodwill, outworking all of it in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would please, to chapter 5. And in verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is pleased, is God is pleased to be God and do his wonderful work in your life as you work out your own salvation. So God, that's your will. That's my will for your life. And I'm going to do it with, I want you to know that I'm going to do what I'm going to do in your life if you just give me the right ground, Matthew 13, good ground. I don't want rotten stuff. I don't want cement. Hard. I want soft. And I'll make the seed grow. Wow. Chapter Ephesians. And if you would, I was going to say, chapter 3. And you'll know, please, in chapter 3, picking up a straight way, verse 20, in the light of the prayer, now unto him that is able, God is able, to do exceeding, no question, above and beyond, abundantly, that means lots and lots and lots and lots and lots, above and beyond, lots and lots and lots, above and beyond again, all, that's everything you can come up with, everything you could ask, everything you could think of, no matter how you do it, you can collect all the volumes and all the minds and people in the world and put it together. You guys couldn't even touch what I'm going to do. Therefore, think ye, therefore, above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dynamite, that worketh in us. So God, you're going to do, and you're busy. As I live, saith the Lord, I do what I do in a most awesome and wonderful way. And you need to look to me to do it. Over to Hebrews and chapter 3. And in Hebrews chapter 3, you are reminded again in the warning, awakening the heart of believers. And in chapter 3, verse 12 in particular, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, inside of your head and heart, an evil heart. What kind of an evil heart? That isn't believing, that isn't believing, that isn't abiding, that isn't trusting. That in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And God said, I am the God that liveth and doeth. You want to depart from me? Go out there. You want my work in your life, my work, you trust me, and I'm going to do a wonderful thing in your heart. It's my saving grace, my saving your heart to be all that I have intended it to be. Now, that's what I'm looking for. Now, and thus, I'm saving you from that. And while you're here in Hebrews, great passage, chapter 7, and all of that is to outwork something wonderful. Chapter 7, and picking up, if I can, in verse 16. Who is able, Christ the high priest, who is able not after the commandment, a law, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, He testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I am forever your Savior. I am forever your intercessor. I am forever your high priest. I represent you perfectly before God. That's a priest. And I represent God perfectly to you. I represent God perfectly to you. And you represent God perfectly to him in me, in Christ. I'm the mediator. I'm the priest. I bring the two together. I bring the atonement. I bring it all together. Together. Do you understand? I make it work. I make it work. Wow. I do. And the more you trust me, that's what you want. And you have it according to what? How long is it going to last? It's the power of what? Of an endless life. Do you understand? You shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Never going to go away. Here I am now. I'm going to go to bed maybe sometime and get up maybe sometime and do whatever, work, home, school, play. Going to do it. That's right. But you know what? God, I have a wonderful relationship to you, my Lord and my God, my Savior. And God, and it's all, and we're going to pick it up in a minute, and everything I have belongs to you. You have claimed it as your own. You said this body, brains, blood, bones, brawn, beauty, the whole mess is yours. From top to bottom, you bought it. And you're able to say, and you do say, it's my body. No? The church is what? His, my body. Uh-huh. Personal. You can't get more personal. And he is my Savior. My body, said the Lord, my Savior. You can't get more. God, are you committed? All he is. Israel, you're not catching it. Jeremiah, that's what's going to encourage you on. Now, over, if you would, in tying it together a little bit. Over to Psalm 18. There's different ways. I'm just going to do this one, because you're familiar with it. Psalm 18. The reason David has such magnificent relationship with God is because of his personalness. Personal. So chapter 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. God, my strength. The Lord, and then he goes specifically, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. My fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. God, you're a very personal God, a very wonderful God, a wonderful working God, doing all that you do in a most wonderful way. So you can't get more personal than that, no matter how you cut the cookie. And when you keep reading, without reading all of the psalm, you keep reading it, and you'll pick it up all over the place, just 19, verse 19, 18, 19. He brought me forth unto a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He took pleasure. It was his pleasure. Mm-hmm. The Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness, like Noah, Job, Daniel. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. Hath he recompensed me, etc. And down, verse 27. Thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down their high looks. For thou will light my candle, the Lord my God will lighten my darkness. And you keep all around, always my relationship. So God is being everything to David needs. And David is discovering it inch by inch, point by point. Psalm 42. And it's, excuse me, Psalm 43. In Psalm 43. Now you know, verse 1, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. You always start with yourself, and then you look to God. Then you look out, and God has to work the rest of it out for you. Verse 2, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I a mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? Why am I all doing this? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my Lord, my God. Why art thou cast down? We're going to end with that. God, what am I doing? Am I saved or aren't I? Are you God or aren't you? Then he is, and he is, he lives. Then trust him. And you give yourself a good talking to. Why am I cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health, the healing of my countenance, my face, and my God. So now, God, here we are looking. God, my personal God, the living and only God, is my God and Savior. Now, and that's mine, that's personal. And we did it the other day, just to remind you. Are they your clothes, aren't they? You are wearing your own clothes. I assume you're wearing your own clothes. I assume that. And I assume the shoes you are wearing are your shoes. I assume you use your own toothbrush. I assume you do that. I assume that. They're your own eyes. They're your own ears. That's your own heart, your hands, your... It's all yours, and you claim it again and again without even unconsciously. You claim it and use it wonderfully because it's yours. You don't use somebody else's. You use yours. Yours. Your things. They're yours. You're able to say, that's my shirt, my toothbrush. So when it comes to God, you say, God, God, you are my God. My God. God, and God, you say, it's your working. If I listen to you, you're my working. You're the working in my life. That's right. As I live, saith the Lord, I'm the working. And as you work, God, I'm going to honor you as my God and my Savior. And as I do so, I'm looking for my life, which is really my life, which is really your life. That's God. And your life is to work itself in my life. And my life is your life. And your life is my life. Wow. That's pretty simple. What belongs to you belongs to me. What belongs to me belongs to you. Well, my tests tomorrow in school, the things I have to do, all the things you have to go through, hard, easy, much, little, unknowns, all kinds of unknowns, and even when you think you know them, you never can be sure. So you always look to God for the outworking of that which needs to be. Only God sees the end of your life. Only God sees his soon, imminent returning. Only God sees. So God, I don't know. God, you know. You know. That's right. It's your working, your wonderful working. And Jeremiah is looking to you, God. And Israel is able to say, not able to say, my God. They aren't able to say. They don't say my God at all. They don't. They claim something of God's, but they have no relationship to God to own it. Wow. So God, here we are. Jeremiah, we want to learn well. As God lives, are you going to work out Israel's existence? Even now, over there now, they're surrounded. It isn't good. Aren't they having a big Muslim meeting now? Over there? The country, Saudi Arabia, all the Arabs are in a big... I saw the picture in the news. And a big, all-rounded... And they're all talking about Palestine and Israel and everything. Wow. Now, here's Israel. And Israel, the commentator said, Israel is in trouble. They aren't happy. They aren't happy. They're going to do something. Aha. Aha. Ah, so Israel. I suggest that you get saved. They could. Anyone in Israel can get saved. But they may have to wait and go through the tribulation, those that survive, and go through it. I don't know that. But for us, here we are looking to you, God, and we're looking there, and all of these things are happening in our world, and we aren't counting on any of them. We aren't counting on the fact that when I graduate from college or I graduate from high school, I'll be able to do this and this and that. Or next year when I get my raise, I'll be able to do this. Or this and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. All of that's good in a sense, but it isn't locked in. And therefore you say like in James, you don't say, I'm going to have this and do that. No, you say, Lord willing, I'm going to have that. Whatever you will, Lord. We just read it. God's will, it's His pleasure to exercise His will in your life. Isn't it? That's what He wants to do. Now, how can you ask for more than that? And He only knows it. And He only can prepare us for it. And all the rest of it, I want to stay in tune and touch. I don't want to get too far off where I lose it. I make it to the edge, but boy, God, I want to move in the middle where if I fall down, I stay in the same place. I don't want to fall off. So God help us in all of it. God, you're the living God. As I live, saith the Lord, I do what I do, I'm going to do what I do, and my wonderful pleasure is for me to be pleased, Revelation 5:11. It is my pleasure. Everything in the world is for my pleasure, my will. I want to outwork my will in your life. You're mine, and I am yours. Now, I want you to exercise that. There are people by the thousands all across the world that don't know me. But if you do, take advantage of it and exercise it. You want to win, you're going to win. You aren't going to lose. You may fall down and break your leg and have a lot of problems. But all those problems have nothing to do with your life. All those problems do is get you to line yourself up mentally with me. You're trusting me in the midst of the heartache and the pain and the sorrow. You're trusting me. And that's what you're learning. And the more you trust me, I will not put you through anything you don't. If I don't think it's a good lesson for you, it isn't going to happen. And as you become, as I told you this 100 years ago, as you become a good student and you learn quickly, 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 you don't have to go through a whole lot. Do you understand? I got it. I don't have to have my arm twisted. I don't have to have a bridle, bit and bridle to get there. I got there. I'm not going to fight you, God. I got it. I'm going to go with it. And you got it. No? As I live, saith the Lord. And thus it's very personal. So God help us and deal with our heads and our hearts and look to God and work, home, school, play, and for Israel and for the nation and for boy everywhere. God, it's a wonderful time, awesome time. And there are believers all across the world in some form. They have much, they have little. God, help them. Help them. Help us. And may many come to know you as the Savior in these days.